Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the overwhelming love that you have for your church and your people. Dear Heavenly Father, I guess the most blessed thing I could do is to report your uncompromising word to your church that you've called me to do. And not consider what men think, but what you think in delivering the gospel. Father, I know sometimes that can be trying with those who hear. But Father, we're responsible for what we put into the souls of men. And may they receive it, for it will deliver themselves from themselves in that which is natural. So today I declare what you've laid on my heart to share with your people. I declare it as a good answer towards those that need it. And those that need refreshing. And those that need the strength of it. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about what it means to be saved and what it means to be walking or living in what we call salvation. Now, I've made a decision to tackle one of the most difficult books. But the more I'm beginning to get into it, the more I find it's not that difficult. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Without Him, you can't know anything. But because we have Him, He can do everything. So I've been reading the book of Revelations and praying in tongues and just reading it like I've done other books where I've gotten a deeper understanding of the mind of God in them. And I've learned to appreciate this language that God has given our generation or our dispensation. And that is the avenue of speaking in a tongue that your natural mind cannot interpret. Now, to the natural man, that seems ridiculous. That's why there was a lot of doctrines formed out of speaking against speaking in tongues, because the natural mind doesn't understand it. But God has called and anointed people that will receive it and use it to really indict their natural mind. And the thing that has gotten me more than excited more than anything else is when I've been reading that last book, I can truthfully say of a report now that there are some things I could not see. No matter who I turned to for help, I could not see except the Holy Spirit have revealed it. And I'm amazed, first of all, at the love of God. It just overwhelms me. And that I'm also amazed at the wrath of God. But I've come to the conclusion that the reason that many of us don't really understand God and understand what Paul said, he said his judgments are past finding out. When I searched out that particular passage, I began to see more than ever what Paul was saying. He wasn't saying we couldn't understand the judgments of God. He was saying the natural man cannot. And so when judgment falls from God, you have to have the mind of God to understand it. Sad thing about it is we're living in a generation or a time period where men have no concept of how the judgments of God fell on His Son. Man can't interpret that. When I was going into the book of Revelations, I began to see more than ever the importance of understanding the generation that we live in and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so powerful. I want to talk to you about the subject we've been talking about on being saved and salvation. And I'm now seeing why Jesus promoted the Holy Spirit more than anything else just before his death. Just here recently, I caught a revelation of the fullness of Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit in me that I hadn't had before. It overwhelmed me when I got the revelation of it. And I want to share as much as I can with natural words to help you get the same focus. And how precious speaking in tongues is for us. No matter how much you know of the language, the original tongue that the word was given in, I've even learned how precious it is to understand the text in which something is put together and how the text complements the understanding of the words. The words should never complement the text. The text should complement the word. And so I begin to see now that men think in pictures. We don't think in words, we think in pictures. And so we know that a context puts a clear picture in your mind of what God is trying to say. Amen. It's the intellect that can gravitate to words. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives a complete vision of what he's trying to say. That's what makes revelation so difficult for many of us. It's frightening and scary. But it's we forget to think about the fact that God gives an end to things in vision or dreams. We just have to find out what's behind the vision or the dream. Boy, we need the Holy Spirit for that. So just before Jesus' death, he promoted the Holy Spirit. And so in John chapter 16, at verse 5, he started saying things that the disciples were not going to like to hear. And he says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage." Oh, it is to your advantage that I go away. Boy, I understand that now. Boy, do I understand it. "For if I do not go away," I like our translators, puts in here, "the helper will not come to you." It's worded a little differently in the Greek. It says, "The comforter by no means comes to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you," or one translation says, "and he will come." This is where a lot of the Jews were kind of confused when Jesus said this very thing. They mocked him and said, "The Holy Spirit's been here from Genesis." And they used that as another term to validate a witness against him in his trial. That he mocked the Holy Spirit by saying he would not come. But they didn't understand where he was coming from. Natural man cannot have the thoughts of God. Even Paul said he was caught up to the third heaven because no man could get what he was given by Jesus personally after the Spirit. That's why he completed the New Testament. There was no one qualified. They could do it from a natural plane. And you know what? Thank God for speaking in tongues. thank God for the Holy Spirit because he still indicts man's thinking. He indicts it. Anyway, he says, there is no other way that he's going to come except that I depart and send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world. Didn't say he would judge it, he would convict it. There's a difference between judgment and conviction. Some believers might think it's a strange word, convict. But usually when you get into error and you're born again from above, you'll feel a scratching on the inside when you're doing something wrong. I got guarantee. I got good news for every one of you. Every one of you that is born again and spirit-filled, you have an inward convictor. I hated to tell you that. Because I know what it's like when you go to put him down. Notice that when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, and it's singular, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judge. What a mouthful. Now, he knew that Jesus, through the agency of the Spirit, would deliver the full meaning of those three things that the Holy Spirit would do. I understand them now more than ever, but I never did understand them for a long time. But now I understand them because I've been taking time to pray in tongues, to stay in fellowship with God, and to allow him to speak back to me. And boy, I'll tell you what, my natural mind cannot find God. I learned to give that up. Now it says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. In other words, the Holy Spirit will not, on his own authority, speak anything except for what he is asked to give. And there are people today that say the Holy Spirit controls them totally and completely. And that anything that the Holy Spirit tells them, they obey and do it. Even to the color of socks that they put on in the morning. We think that's ridiculous, but there are people out there that believe that. They believe that they got to wear certain clothes because certain clothes that they put on will literally express the glory of God to other people. Is there a truth in that? Yeah, there is. There is a truth to it. Because if you dress improperly, people know that. If you dress properly, people know that too. You can also dress religiously and people know that too. Now, there seems to be a wisdom in doing natural things. But I got news for you. The wisdom of natural things does nothing to the indulgence of the flesh. That has to be controlled. Believe it or not. I wish I had time to go into what was revealed to me just recently. But just recently I understood Jesus in his death on the cross just recently. And yet I heard it, and I heard it, and finally I heard it. That shows you how far natural thinking is from knowing how to think through the Spirit. But we are living in a very glorious time, a wonderful time. And we don't realize the importance of the position that we've been placed in once we've been saved. And that is in the position of salvation, soteria. Now, if you know in verse 7 here, John 16, he said, I have to go away because it's the only way that the Comforter will come to you. I have to go. And so then he came. Did you know the Holy Spirit was at work within the earth? But he was at work within the earth, not in the heart of a man, but he actually was in the earth manifesting himself in different forms through types and shadows. And then he occasionally appeared as the angel of the Lord. You could bow before him, and that angel would not say, arise. But you could also see where men bowed before angels, and the angel told them, you cannot bow before me, stand up. And so we know that Jesus, pre-incarnate Christ, he did take on the form of an angel, but according to Hebrews chapter 2, he did not hold on to that form, but he took on the seed of Abraham. In other words, he became a man, God became a man, and manifested in the earth. Now, Jesus is our very example of everything that he is for us to imitate, but not clarify that we are deity. You're overstepping your bounds. But let me share something with you that I've learned just recently, and I want to make this very clear, that me understanding and having to deal with words, I begin to realize that we're living in a time period where words of old do not mean the same thing that they do of recent. They take on a different change, a different meaning. And our modern scholars have picked up the diluted type. And what we need to do is hold to the true meaning of the original meaning to those words. For one, the Authorized Version translate comforter, comforter. The RV retains it, comforter. In other words, in the margin, it will give you advocate and helper. And notes that in the Greek, it's called paraclete. The RSV translates it, counselor. J.B. Phillips' translation translated someone to stand by you. Ronald Knox translates it, he who is to befriend you. And Moffat, Torrey, and 20th century New Testament believers all translate helper. He's your helper. New American Standard, helper. Now, I'm going to share with you something that I had learned when I looked up the meaning of this word comforter. It has taken on a meaning which was not its original meaning. How we looked at the word comforter, we translated it this way, that the main function of the Holy Spirit was to comfort and console, and in our sense of the words, to bring a consoling to you, or to comfort you. Wycliffe used the word comforter with the meaning which modern English does not possess. Example, Wycliffe translates Ephesians 6:10, be you in dunamon, the same root dunamis, which means power or achieving ability. I'm going somewhere today. Just follow me. Tertullian translates it, and who's he? Well, he's a real ancient scholar. He translated it an advocate to plead our cause. But the modern English, the word comforter, has to do exclusively with comfort and consolation and sympathy in sorrow and in distress. But in Wycliffe's time, it was much more closely connected with its root, the Latin word fortis, which means brave, strong, courageous. Now I'm going to give you a quote from Bullinger. So we may note to begin with that when Wycliffe translate Parakletos by the word comforter, he was certainly not saying that the soul or even the main function of the Holy Spirit was to comfort and console in our sense of the words. But he was meaning that the function of the Holy Spirit was to fill a man with that spirit of power and courage which would make him able triumphantly to cope with life. It is a great misfortune that the narrowing of the word comforter has resulted in an undue narrowing of our conception of the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I agree with that. Amen. We have been duped. We thought when the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and life, he would, when you go into trials and tests and misfortunes in earth, that the Holy Spirit would come and say, I understand what you're going through. I've been through the same thing myself, my brother. Just bear with it and just don't get. Just pray in tongues. Pray in tongues and build your most holy faith, my son. You know the term the sufferings of Christ? You know how the church has taken that to mean we are to suffer in sickness and disease, you know, natural things that life brings? But that term does not mean that. I'm going to tell you what it means. It refers to believers laying down their own agendas, their own comfort, and their very selves while advancing God's kingdom on earth. The hardness associated with the laying down of self, if necessary, in spreading the good news. That's different. I'm sorry I shattered a lot of people's concept that will hear this, but they need it shattered. We got to get out of this concept that God's going to do something when God already has done something. He's done something for the needs of man. Now, if you will, I want us opened up to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And what we're going to do these next two Sundays is we're going to deal with the person of the Holy Spirit and the life that we're presently living in and how to deal with the cares and stress of this world. Would that be something you would be interested in? Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians, let me get there. Let's go we'll start with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Watch this. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings. And he's not talking about the things that you endure from natural life. He's talking about the things that you have to give up so that you can bring comfort to somebody else, which is called bravery, courage, strength. Not so that you can say, I know what you're going through, brother. I've been there myself, and I begin to realize I have to just settle in with what the enemy is doing and understand that this happens to every believer. That is not why he gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit because he said, you are going to be my witnesses to all the world. Because the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He didn't say Tylenol will come upon you. He didn't say doctors would come upon you. He didn't say painkillers would come on you. He didn't say alcohol, marijuana, all these things would come on you. He says the Holy Ghost will come on you and cause you to be comforted. Amen. Glory to God. I don't have to look to natural means. I'll tell you why. Because God didn't put me into the kingdom of God called salvation for me to be disrupted and needing somebody to help me when I've got the helper on the inside of me. Woo! Glory to God. Self-pity will get you nowhere. And our hope for you is steadfast. If you want to be comforted, that'll make you steadfast. Hallelujah. If you ever notice the mind of the world on television promoting pills, talk about crazy. You can avoid a hangnail by taking hangnail medication. But I want to warn you that taking this hangnail medication might destroy your kidneys, cause your heart to malfunction, cause gangrene to set in. If these symptoms are there, stop taking the medication. You know what we do? We sit and we mute the commercials. We just mute them. We ought to start a campaign of muting the commercials. Sue was muting the commercials last night, and I was making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I love them. And I'm sitting there, and I noticed the TV is not moving at all. And I looked, and you know when she finally kicked in the program again? 5 minutes later. For a 5 minute program, and then go back into 5 minute commercials. You turn on your TV, or you turn on your car radio now. You know, I want you to know that I have learned that my cancer has been put under control because of Dr. Good. Now, if you need hope with sexual things, now you can go to a doctor by the name of Cocky. Dr. R. Cocky. What a fitting name. I'm telling you, it's crazy. The world is nuts. And we got to realize, thank God we were given a language that doesn't relate to the world. And yet, worldly people don't want that language. I know it'll indict their thinking. Glory to God, man. Lord, help me stay in control here. Don't let the Spirit take over. It might be too much. And he goes on and he talks about how that for we do not want you, verse 8, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength so that we despair even of life. He wasn't talking about sicknesses and diseases and headaches and everything else. He was talking about what you go through when you go to promote the gospel. He says, yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead, who delivered us from a great death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for that gift granted to us through many. And he's talking about that position that they held in salvation and how we corporately together as a body have that anointing flowing for the salvation even of others. Hallelujah. So with that thought in mind, let's go to chapter 4. Chapter 4. And it amazes me how so many people overlook this entire chapter and how powerful it is. But I want you to notice something. It says here, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation. In other words, but we are very visibly observable. What we are is what you see. There's no hidden agenda in our life. Did you know that Christians, when they quit trusting in God, they turn back to the arm of the flesh, and that might not be so good. And the first thing you'll find them do is they go underground by returning back to their vomit. And they don't want nobody else to know that they've done just what dogs do. They don't want nobody to know that, so they hide it. They go underground and hide it, and they don't bring it to the surface and let God extract it from them. Now watch this, how this goes. This is very powerful. I want you to get a hold of this, because we're going to take communion. Hallelujah. Notice this. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience. Whose conscience? Whose conscience? Man's conscience. How many men's conscience? How many? How many? Oh, how many, Sue? That's my wife. How many, Sue? How many? Everyone. That means my witness belongs to you. Your conscience. My witness belongs to you. My witness belongs to you. Mindy, my witness belongs to you. Dino, my witness belongs to you. You know what that means? It means we're accountable to everybody on how we conduct ourselves. There should be no hidden agenda. Are you ashamed? You rightly ought to be. Get it under the blood. Sad thing is, many of us, we go underground. We don't stay above board. We don't stay open. Now, is it an indictment just because some people are not as spiritual as you are? No, that's not an indictment. It's not. If you don't want to be spiritual, you don't have to be. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to claim Jesus and you don't want to go into any spiritual death, that's fine, but don't turn back to the arm of the flesh to live after its manner. Stay sanctified. Stay clean. Do that much. Praise God. Now notice, he lets us know something. Right off at verse 3, notice verse 3. He says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. This word veiled is a very interesting word. It literally means a satanic blinding of the eyes, because that's what he goes to. Notice this. Whose minds, and this word for minds here is their thought processes, how they order their way of thinking. And every man is as he thinks. I don't know why I'm doing what you're doing. I do. Well, why am I doing what I'm doing? It's the way you're thinking that causes you to do what you do. We can't get away from that. Whose mind, notice this, the God of this world has blinded. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The gospel of who? Of who? Christ. The gospel of Christ should shine on them. Now I want to share something with you. I want you to get a hold of about him saying the gospel of the glory of Christ. He could have said the gospel of the glory of God. But did you know the gospel of the glory of God was here before the gospel of Christ? But he said Christ. He said Christ. The gospel of Christ. Now notice this. Who is the image of God should shine on? And he's referring to chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, talking about our face having been unveiled. The veil had been lifted on our face. And we could look in to what? Into Christ. That is in the inside of you. Not in heaven. Not in the earth, but not on the earth, but in you. Christ in you is the hope of his glory. Christ in you is the hope of his glory. Christ in you is the hope of his glory. Not Christ in the earth. Not Christ on the earth. Not Christ in heaven. But Christ in you is the hope of his glory. And that is why when the Holy Spirit comes, he says, you will be my witnesses both to the whole known world. Oh, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who came to endunamon you, literally endue you with his achieving ability. It's just how are you thinking when it comes to the way you think. Well, he tells us one way that you cannot perform is because somehow he has to get you not to see. He has to veil you. He goes and says, he has blinded who do not believe. And there are believing believers that do not believe. They believe to a portion, but they don't believe to the fullness. Now he goes on to say, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And notice what he said. The God of this world. And guess what Greek word he used for worlds? He didn't say cosmos system. He wasn't referring to a dispensation or generation. He was referring to the God of this time period that began at the fall of Adam and Eve, because when he used the word aeon, he meant a long period of time, not just a particular generation, but over many generations. Satan has no authority whatever in the lives of believers who, during the time period of the kingdom of heaven currently exists, to those who are enlightened by the gospel. And when you're enlightened by the gospel, it says that the government structure of Satan cannot overpower you. Amen. He only operates through unbelievers. And the only thing he can do is make you his highest trophy to get you to receive Jesus, so he can turn you into the enemy of the cross by letting you confess Jesus and then live like the devil that he is. I hate him. I hate everything he's associated with. I hate everything that he accomplishes in people to destroy them. I hate him. He's my enemy. Notice verse 7. Oh, this is where the changes take. Because the emphasis, first of all, is those not receiving Jesus. But he goes on and says the effect of receiving him and how you are so secure in your salvation with him. Are you ready? Here's the verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, clay pots. Watch this. That the excellency of the dunamis may be of God and not us. You know what I am in God? It's Christ in me. That's it. And everything that I am in this clay pot has nothing to do with on me. It's called in me. The preposition in. Well, I'll try something else. Let's go with something else. You know what he's saying here? The container through which God's ability manifests. We are the containers through which God's ability flows. What? Yeah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He didn't say the world system. He said no matter what time period you lived in, if God was for you, who can be against you? Now, are you ready to put the icing on the cake? We are hard pressed on every side. We're not hard pressed on any side. We're living in a time period where there is nothing going on that's wrong. Yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Thank God for commercials. They can give us a way out. But it'll kill the rest of us, but at least it'll get some of it. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For if we live, are always delivered to death for Jesus. Boy, what an encouraging outlook for it. Let's all get hooked up with Jesus so we can croak. There's a transition here. He's starting to tell us something. Paul is saying, pressed. This means a pressing from all sides, but never cowing to pressure that will stop forward movement. That's where Paul's coming from. You'll have pressure from all sides, but he's saying that the God in us will not allow that pressure to stop our forward momentum. Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Perplexed. Be not uncertain. That's what the word perplexed means, to be uncertain, lacking an answer.
And Paul is saying, the reason he's saying this is to remove you from a direct path. That's what Satan wants to do, move you from a direct path. Not leaving you in a cloudness of which way to go. That is not why God works in you. He gives you specific direction. Glory to God. I like that. Never leaves you alone. Look at the next verse. Persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. This is a military statement, meaning that when you're in the thick of a battle, God doesn't leave you. He sticks right with you. Why? He wants to see through the battle. He wants to sit right there. It's not going to be Genuvia that's going to come to your aid. He's called Holy Ghost that's going to come to your aid. Are you following? And not lisinopril. It's God that sticks with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You mean when I'm in the thick of battle, God is there? Yeah, He's not only alongside you, but He's your helper alongside of you. Oh, I feel this heavy burden. I've got to take the beer of light. How is alcohol, the beer that's called light, going to help a heavy burden? I've been down that road, and I found that the bottom of a can is nothing but weirdness. Try a bottle of wine. I had a whole suitcase full of wine I stole from a grocery store. I was going to take it to my bedroom and put it under my bed. I hide it from my mom. Why? Because I liked what I could see at the end of the bottle. Weirdness. Put it in a suitcase. I should have checked the suitcase. Its latches were not very strong. And I wanted to carry it from the front door into my bedroom. And my mother's sitting there in the living room watching TV. And I walk in. She said, "What are you doing with the suitcase?" "Oh, I just found it." And she said, "Found a suitcase? Where are you taking it?" I said, "Well, I'm taking..." And then it snapped open. All the bottles fell out. I didn't know the word of God then, but it says, "Be careful, for your sins will find you out." I didn't know the scripture then, but I know now why. She looks at, she says, "My God." And I said, "No, it wasn't him." She says, "Where did you get the money for that?" So not only have you gone to drinking, you've gone to stealing. I didn't say I stole it. Oh, where did they come off the shelf and fly into your pocket or your suitcase? I never lived that one down for a while. I like this. Carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Dying of Jesus in the body means sacrificing oneself for the sake of advancing the kingdom of God. Paul said, in a personal sense, he said that there is no more place found in him for Satan to get a hold of. Paul got to that same place that Jesus said. Jesus said, "There is no place in me that he could put his hands on." And I'm going to tell you something. We always look at unbelievers as an enemy to the cross. That is not Satan's trophy, to take an unbeliever to bring a reproach to the cross. It is getting a Christian who names Jesus as their Savior to turn and begin to deny Him through what? Not doing what He gave you to do, so that you could claim Him and then do the will of Satan, and therefore you become an enemy to the cross.
If you do not want to be an enemy of the cross, then do not let anybody know you're a Christian until you get a hold of yourself. And then you can proclaim your liberty. I know what that's like. I had Jesus as the answer on my 36 Chevy. Painted it in black. And I never got the revelation that I'm not a perfect driver. And I'm driving all over just flaunting Jesus is the answer. Until I cut somebody off. And I'll never forget at the stoplight, he come up beside me. And motioned that I roll my window down. And so I rolled it down. Did Jesus teach you how to drive? So I went and took it off. So, we're going to go in and talk a little more on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to share something with you people. There is called being saved, where God removes your inner man from your outer man. And that is not known like the day of Pentecost. And so all those that were in the upper room, none of them were spirit-filled. But many of them were already saved. Matter of fact, Jesus, when he met them after rising from the tomb, he blew on some of them. Receive you the Spirit. And people didn't understand how they could receive the Spirit without being born again. He was talking about them being born again. And so the Spirit being born from above is like the wind. You can't see where it comes. You can't see where it goes. But you can feel the effect of it. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit's different. It is like rivers of living water that flows out of your most inner being. Rivers is what creates power. Salvation is the power of God operating through your innermost being. But listen, to be saved is called the well of salvation. So we dip in and we're saved. Are you following me? But salvation is different. Salvation has to be acted upon. And that's why he said, for comfort, you got to get 1 Corinthians chapter 1, those verses 3 through 11, you got to get them in you. Read them when you get home. Look at them. It is a word, comforter. It literally means one who strengthens you, one who is your medication in the time of your need. That is what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He was saying, if you dip in to the Spirit of God, then you won't be handling the Word of God deceitfully. You'll be what you are as a believer. Now I'm going to tell you something, people. I don't know how many of you would admit it, but what would you think if your pastor would fall? What if you found out that I had been carrying on an affair with another woman behind yours and my wife and everybody's? Would that bother any of you? Probably not, huh? Thanks a lot. What about drinking? What about drinking? I won't drink. But what if I was drinking behind your back? I was an alcoholic. Would that affect the gospel in your life? Would that affect the gospel in your life? Nope. Well, for some, no. But the majority of you, yeah. It would affect you. It would set you back. Guess what, people? My transgression is not my own. My transgression is not my own. It involves everybody. It does. Sue and I, we didn't like it at first, but we've learned now that we have to live in a house with glass, that our walls are glass. We have to. We have to be in a position where we can let people look into our house. Now, there are some people who couldn't handle it because some areas of liberty in my life, I think it's okay, but it might not be for somebody else. Now, I'm quoting Paul. But if my freedom would hinder somebody else, then I will self-deny my freedom for the sake of somebody else. Well, I know that I'm not accountable to the decisions they make, but still I am responsible for how they think. And I ask God to forgive me for that. And He never told me to give up the guns. Maybe I wasn't in the position to listen. I don't know. I know I don't use them to kill somebody anyway, but anyway. But you get the gist of what I'm saying. And people, we serve a great God, and we serve a wonderful God, and we serve a strong God. And He's strong, not there. And He's strong, not in the middle of the earth. And He's strong, not on the earth, but He's strong in you. That's where His strength is. And it's up to you, the clay pot, to let it out. And you can do it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you do not speak in tongues, I'm going to be as bold to say now as I've ever said it, and I've never done this before, then you do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You might have the Spirit in salvation, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit by Scripture, more than three witnesses clearly defined as a separate act. And you need the witness of the Spirit in yourself. And I'll tell you why. I don't have time to go into it. I went 10 minutes over. But I'm going to tell you something. I have just recently in my prayer closet learned what it means to be careful what you speak when it comes to the Word of God with your mouth. And I found out something that is fabulous, and that's what we're going to go into next week. And it has helped even change my position when it comes to fear and worry and concern and everything. I'm now in a place where I have peace that I've never been before. I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm doing it, and I love it. Father, I thank You. And this morning, Father, as I preached, I know that many of us might have had a conviction in our heart. And so this morning, as we take the communion, the ushers come forward. This is important. I know we're always strapped by time, but people, listen, we're doing business with God here this morning. And we're going to take communion. And if we have been a reproach to anybody, we've harmed anyone, then what we need to do is get it under the blood. Get ourselves in line with God. And when you walk from this facility this morning, I want every one of you to walk out of this building, feel complete because you took communion today. And if anyone has any thoughts toward you or any negative things back toward you, it doesn't matter any longer. It matters where you put yourself with God, and that's sufficient for God and not man. You getting what I'm saying? Hello? Hallelujah. It's our walk is seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the word trembling is a very interesting word. It literally is referring to someone who does not and will not depend upon himself or his own ability to get any victory. Everything that you are is because of His ability working in you. You believe that? Now this morning what we're going to do when we take the communion elements is we're going to take it in light of what it was meant to be. It's so that the body would not be broken up. So that we would not be severed because of indifferences and things like that. I know we've got buildings now with our indifferences on them, but it doesn't matter. If we take communion, it doesn't matter. We're getting right with God before the conscience of men. Hallelujah. And so what I used to permit, I don't permit in my thinking anymore. I don't judge others that do, but I don't permit it anymore. What denomination am I? I am a believer that is a part of the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And I will not divide myself through a form of belief. I discovered in the book of Revelation, I know the harlot now. I know what the harlot is. And only the Holy Spirit could have shown me that. And that harlot, you've got to remember, is the one who runs the world, even now, as we speak. The trouble is, we don't know who the harlot is. Oh, I know who the harlot is. Hallelujah. Well, are you guys ready? Father, the body of Christ was given to the earth so that we would be witnesses through the Holy Spirit before the conscience of men and God to do the right thing. And so this morning, if we've fallen short in the conscience of other people, then Father, I want to put it under not only the symbol of what washes me from that, which is your blood, but also so that I would remain in full tact with the body of Christ in the earth and not be broken off from it. So I want to be made whole in the body of Christ, and I want his blood to cleanse me of any transgression that I perform. And so now let's hold the bread up. Father, this bread symbolizes the uniqueness of the body of Christ in the earth, and that it is to remain undivided and not broken up, but to remain intact. And so doing this in remembrance of you giving of yourself so that the body would not be broken, but would remain intact. I acknowledge that as me being a member in the body of Christ, and I take this bread as a symbol of where my desire of my heart is, that I be not divided from the body of Christ in the earth. Take this. And now, Father, I lift up the cleansing agent, which represents the blood of Jesus that was shed. It is that agent that lets me know that my physical man, my physical life means nothing anymore. It's everything that Christ is in me that is number one. And I cleanse myself through the shed blood of Jesus of where I miss the mark that would cause me to be divided from the body. Let's drink. Hallelujah. How many feel better? I feel better already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Stand up, everybody. Praise God. Okay. Father, now we're going to close this service, and if there's anybody here that has never given their heart and life to Jesus, would like to do so today, Father, we would in no wise turn them away, but Father, we would agree with them in prayer and see them come into being saved and also partaker of salvation, which they need desperately. And so, Father, right now, with every head bowed, if there be anybody here that has never said the sinner's prayer, never gotten saved, or you might have gotten saved, but you've been away from the Lord and you want to rekindle that place in him, feel free right now to step out wherever you're at and come forward. Anybody? Hallelujah. Right now, that would have that desire. Praise God. Praise God. Boy, the time period we're living in, we need not only to be saved, we need to grow into that salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Anybody else? Praise God. Feel free to come forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Don't hesitate. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You guys ready to go home? We're going to have a good time tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these wonderful people. And Father, as they go their way today, Father, may they feel victorious. May they feel that they're in a place with you, that Father, they can face life. And no matter all the pressures and whatever could come against them, they know they can break out of it in Jesus' name apart from the TV. Amen. God bless you.